are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Monday episode here at Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market with new flavors now, peach cobbler and mango. Go to BuiltBar.com and use your promo code Locked On to get $10 off of your first box. On today's episode, the Saints have signed versatile running back wide receiver Ty Montgomery. We'll talk about his fit in New Orleans as well as the corresponding release. Then we'll dive into Montgomery and Patrick Omame's contracts and explain why the Saints literally get a discount on their deals. And finally, we'll close out with two pieces of Saints news. First, Coach Payton speaks up again about Taysom Hill, and the Saints receive high grades on yet another undrafted free agent class. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints continue to build their offseason roster, signing versatile running back wide receiver Ty Montgomery. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. Montgomery was originally drafted by the Green Bay Packers back in 2016 to take on the role of a slot receiver, which he initially did his first season in 2016, as well as early in 2017. But then after some injuries along the Packers running back position, they ended up shifting him into the backfield and giving him a role there. He had already kind of dabbled a little bit in that sort of backfield gadget player getting moved around type of a role already with Green Bay. But once they had some injuries at that position, they ended up moving him to the backfield. And that's really where he's remained ever since. He was then traded in the 2018 season to the Baltimore Ravens and then signed with the New York Jets in 2019, now finds his way here to New Orleans in 2020. But I'm not going to just stamp his guarantee here just yet. I like very much what Ty Montgomery brings to New Orleans, and we'll talk about his fit in a second, but we should preface first that despite the clear fit that Montgomery does have in this Saints offense, he may only have a limited amount of time to show it depending upon how this offseason continues to progress. NFL facilities are set to open up tomorrow, Tuesday the 19th. However, the Saints aren't going to be doing anything until training camp in July. Now, July through September gives him an opportunity to show something, that is absolutely for certain. But should there be any other delay, any new information that causes, you know, another setback in terms of training camp getting started, things like that, then that would certainly hurt Ty Montgomery's chances of making the roster. So I'm not going to say that he's 100% a guarantee here, but let's talk about why he should be if this were a usual offseason type of process, because that's really where this is. And he absolutely should be. And here's why. He has a couple of different fits with the Saints. Again, he started off his career in 2016 as a slot receiver, which is something that the Saints more than certainly could use. Not even a slot receiver, just a third receiver, as right now they sit with Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and then potentially Traquan Smith, who did develop in the slot a bit in 2019 before his injury, but again, proves to be ever inconsistent. You get a guy like Ty Montgomery, who's a little bit more proven at the position, that's an opportunity with the NFL experience that he has to actually continue to bolster that wide receiver group. But the more immediate route for him onto this roster is going to be via the running back three position, which means he would have to take on incumbent running back three, Dwayne Washington, which is tough and actually gets more complicated for Montgomery because of the way that this offseason is going. But let's, again, leave that aside and talk about his fit. If this were a usual offseason process, Ty Montgomery would have a lot of opportunities to show that he deserves that running back three spot just as much as Dwayne Washington. Dwayne Washington ends up with that running back three spot over the past couple of years because of what he brings to this team in special teams. Montgomery does have a lot of special teams experience both in coverage as well as a returner. In 2019 with the Jets, he topped over 170 special team snaps in coverage. When Dwayne Washington was coming out of his 2018 season, he had played just about the the exact same amount of special team snaps that proved enough for the Saints to keep him around in 2019. So that would be a good sign for Montgomery. Not to mention that Montgomery would be a little bit more of a threat on the field if thrust into snaps in the offensive game plan, because with Montgomery, you can essentially run the exact same plays that you would run with Alvin Kamara, as he is somebody that can run north and south. He's somebody that can also catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's somebody that you can split out wide and in the slot and throw the ball to as he runs routes very well. So he has that type of versatility, and a different type of versatility than what Dwayne Washington brings. So again, Montgomery has a very, very clear set of fits, I'd even go so far to say, because he has a couple of different paths to making this roster, but it just depends on if he's going to get the opportunity to show it in camp or not. If he does, then I'm happy to say that he will very likely end up on this roster. If he doesn't, then it makes it a lot more challenging, as the Saints are going to stick with what's more familiar and continue their continuity, which has been a big theme for them over the offseason. Now, signing Montgomery didn't come for free. They were at 90 people on their roster, so they needed to release another player, and unfortunately, it was Mitchell Levin. You remember Mitchell Levin as the guy that literally drug somebody out of a car when it fell off of a parking garage a couple years ago. Defensive lineman, they were in the midst of transitioning him over to tight end, and I think because of that position change, it actually ended up hurting Levin, because the Saints drafted Adam Trautman. It meant that there wasn't necessarily a need for a guy that was transitioning from defensive lineman to tight end on the practice squad in 2019. So perhaps you'll see a reunion with him if another player gets hurt, particularly along the defensive line. He always played well on the defensive line in preseason, so if they end up switching him back to his natural position, he could find a role back with this team in the preseason as well as in training camp. But for now, Mitchell Levin is off of the roster. Ty Montgomery is now fighting his way onto the 53. Very intriguing addition for the New Orleans Saints, but we're not done talking about him yet, because we're going to dig a little bit deeper and look at his contract as well as Patrick Omame's contract, as the details for both of those deals have been made public as of this morning, thanks to Field Yates. So take a look at both of those deals and hit you with a couple more pieces of news centering around the New Orleans Saints. We got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our good friends over at Built Bar. Built Bars are tasty. Built Bars are healthy. Built Bars are the best way to go, and they're the best tasting protein bars on the market. They've got 16 amazing flavors, as well as a couple of comebacks, including a chocolate covered cookie dough. They've got two new flavors as well, with peach cobbler and mango, which you can add on as a 6-bar box for $9.95. And that's really the key to this whole thing. If you want to try those new flavors, there's a way that you can get that new box essentially for free, because if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get $10 off of your first box. So you can build your own box with all the flavors that you want to try in your usual 18-bar box, but then you can also get that add-on for $9.95, get $10 off, and bam, that add-on 6-bar box of the brand new flavors is absolutely free for you to try. So head over now to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get $10 off of your first box at builtbar.com. All right, Houdat Nation. So we talked a little bit about Ty Montgomery's fit in terms of the team, but let's talk about how he fits within the Saints' limited salary cap. Now, after they released Larry Warford, they did bump up to about $9.3 million in available salary. But then, you know, that's going to sort of shift and change a little bit with the signing of Patrick Omame, which we'll also talk about here. And then also, rookie signings and things like that, that are still on the way, as the Saints haven't signed any of their rookies yet, which isn't unusual. This is not unusual at all. They usually take their time with this, and it's not like every other team in the NFL has signed their rookies yet either. They're still mad rookies unsigned at the moment, so nothing to be concerned about there. But here's how this contract fits in. So according to Field Yates, who tweeted this out earlier today, Montgomery received, as well as Patrick Omame, a $137,500 signing bonus. Now, that's the maximum amount that you can give in order to make sure that a contract qualifies for what's called the veteran salary benefit. Now, we'll get into more of that in a moment, but the base salary for Ty Montgomery is just $910,000. That's essentially vet minimum for anybody that's been in the league between 3 to 6 years. This would be his 6th year in the NFL. So that makes a lot of sense, right? $910,000 plus the $137,500 signing bonus. So we'll come back to that. The same signing bonus with the Patrick Omame. Patrick Omame would be entering into his 7th season this year. So he ends up with a larger minimum salary at $1.05 million. Because essentially the threshold in terms of the way that this works works is that they go from 1 year, 2 years, 3 to 6 years, and then 7+ is basically the way that it works out. So when you look at that, that's the way that these two contracts break out. However, the numbers that we just discussed aren't actually what the Saints end up taking in terms of a cap hit. Now remember, for Ty Montgomery, we're talking about $910,000 plus the $137,500 signing bonus. However, what he's actually going to count against the cap is $887,500. How do you get to that number? It all has to do with this is new to the newest CBA, the veteran salary benefit. So basically the way that the veteran salary benefit works is that any player that is being signed to your team that has spent more than 4 years in the NFL, or at least 4 years in the NFL, can actually be signed, and your cap hit is that of a 2-year player. So what that means is that instead of the Saints having to pay him $910,000 in terms of his actual base salary, they're only paying him $750,000, which again is that 2-year minimum. Then he gets the $137,500 on top of that. So you add those two together, and that's how you get the $887,500 hit for that bonus. Same thing for Patrick Omame, who again is due $1.05 million in just his base salary. He's going to end up costing the Saints that same amount of money at $887,500 because he's only really going to count against the cap for the signing bonus, which we've talked about, as well as the adjusted base salary, which again is only $750,000 as opposed to $1.05 million. So for both of these players, the Saints cap hit is actually less than what their base salary is, which you don't see very often. But again, this is what the CBA, the newest CBA, does for teams like New Orleans that are smart enough to manipulate the cap and are smart enough to move around. We talked about before how the 30% deal was a huge thing for the Saints, to where they could increase a player's base salary by more than 30% in each individual year of their contract. This is another thing that's proving to be huge for the Saints, because this isn't the first time that they used this. Now, they used it for both Montgomery and Patrick Omame, but they've also used it for Marcus Hunt. They used it for Michael Burton. They used it for Johnson Batamosi, as well as Dwayne Washington, who's the current incumbent running back 3. So this is something that they've continued to use. When this was originally proposed, this was only proposed for two players that were re-signing to a team. That's not how it ended up being. The Saints now have 6 different players, including players that were not on the team the year prior, on this type of a salary benefit, each of them individually only counting for $750,000 in terms of base salary. And then they have their signing bonus, which at max can be that $137,500 sort of signing bonus or workout bonus or roster bonus, however it is that they want to do it. It's essentially additional pay on top of that. So what happens to the rest of that money, right? So when you have a guy that's getting paid $910,000, but he's only counting against your salary cap at $750,000, there's $160,000 missing there. That ends up going to a different fund called player benefits. So that's just a whole other different pot of money that doesn't end up counting against your salary cap. It's one of the things that is actually pretty helpful for players right now, is that it raises all of their minimum salaries and gives teams the means that they need in order to pay those boosted minimum salaries without taking a huge shot to the salary cap. And actually, now that I think about it, the Saints have also used this a 7th time as well, with the re-signing of DJ Swearinger, who again is on, like Patrick Omame, a $1.05 million base salary with a $50,000 roster bonus. So with his base salary decrease in terms of the way that the Saints are paying it to only $750,000 and in only a $50,000 bonus of additional cash, he ends up with a cap hit of $800,000 even. So this is what you're seeing the Saints do, and this is the way that the Saints do it. And you may ask, Ross, why is this important aside from the fact that you like to talk about contracts and numbers? Well, first of all, it allows the Saints to continue to be competitive within the free agency market, because they can offer those boosted minimum salaries and get players in the building with an opportunity to make the roster, like a Ty Montgomery and like a Patrick Omame. And it also helps them big time when it comes to pushing guys out of their top 51. Because don't forget that only the top 51 salaries of the 90-man roster right now actually count against the Saints' salary cap. So guys like Taquan Mizzell, JT Gray, and Cole Wick are all sitting there at the $750,000 range. Two of those guys, with the signing of Ty Montgomery and Patrick Omame, just got pushed out of that. So when you look at what is actually counting against the Saints salary cap right now, you've got two $137,500 signing bonuses. That's it. That's basically what they paid to get those two guys on this roster, because they made the $750,000 for themselves in signing guys that were above the top 51 cutoff. So really, the only thing that they're paying now that is any different from what they were paying with these guys not on the roster is a $137,500 signing bonus each. That's it. That's what they paid to get both of these guys on the roster, and now both have an opportunity to make the roster in 2020 if they get the opportunity to go out there and actually show what they can do in a training camp and in a wild offseason like we talked about before. But this is big for the Saints because it allows them to continue to be competitive. It allows them to continue to sign players without taking any further hit to the little bit of salary that they have left. So again, they're going to continue to be able to produce, continue to bring in players, and continue to build this team as they have always done on essentially a penny or two. And that's just the Mickey Loomis and Kai Hartley way, and that will continue to be the way that the Saints continue to function throughout this offseason. So masterful stuff as always by the Saints front office. Once again, y'all, this is Locked On Saints, brought to you by Built Bar. Make sure you check them out, builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On for $10 off of your first box of Built Bars. Coming up next, we're going to jump into just a little bit of catch all, a little bit of Saints news, talking about Sean Payton, talking more and more and more and more and more about Taysom Hill. But I'll tell you something that's standing out for me that's not being said that I think is really interesting. And then, of course, we'll wrap up also on Thor Nystrom's undrafted free agent class rankings for the Saints, rank highly yet again here in 2020. Got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdet Nation, we are jumping into our final segment here at Locked On Saints. As always, thank you very much for being here. If this is your first time catching the show, I ask that you please take a moment to subscribe and also consider dropping a 5-star rating and review as well, wherever it is that you listen, whether it be iTunes or you follow on Spotify, wherever it is that you choose to listen. All of that, reviews, ratings, all that, very helpful to us, very helpful to the show, the network, and all of you that continue to listen. So I appreciate all of you very much for that help, and we appreciate you here at the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, so jumping into wrapping up this show. So I want to start off a little bit with Sean Payton talking more about Taysom Hill. Now, we see this all the time. And the thing that's really funny about it is that, like, for Saints fans, I think it's becoming a little bit of an expectation, right? Sean Payton's eventually going to say something nice about Taysom Hill whenever he's on air. Something's going to come up. And we've just sort of gotten to the point, those of us that cover the team, those of us that are fans of the team, that it just kind of rolls off, doesn't really mean anything. It does, not that it doesn't mean anything anymore, but we don't make it a big deal. But these national sites make it such a huge deal. Anytime that Sean Payton mentions Taysom Hill's name, even in passing, somebody could ask if there was a player on this team that, you know, he feels like is putting in work, and he might mention the quarterback room, and then he'll say Drew Brees, and then he'll mention Taysom Hill because he's a part of that quarterback room, and national media will go nuts with it because he said Taysom Hill's name. But it is an interesting thing, and, you know, we talked last week just before, I think it was on the Friday episode, with the James Harrison story and all that junk that's coming with all of that. In that same interview with Mike Florio, he also went on to talk a little bit about Taysom Hill, and his exact quote was, we think that he's going to be an outstanding NFL quarterback. And then he also mentioned something that I thought was really interesting, because I guess maybe he's seeing a little bit of the pushback. We know Sean Payton's been spending a little bit more time on Twitter here recently, so maybe he's seeing a little bit of the questions and concerns about Taysom Hill, but he certainly took the time to say that he understands why there are hesitations around Taysom Hill. And he expanded by saying, for those who aren't sold, it's probably because they haven't seen enough of him in game. So he's acknowledging that, like, look, we know that he's only got 6 completed passes in his time as a quarterback in the Saints offense, and serving the role that he's served over the past couple of years, where he's catching passes, he's running options, he's a running back, he's, you know, covering punts, covering, you know, doing special teams coverage and things like that, which he did acknowledge that he does see Taysom Hill having a similar role in 2020 in addition to being Drew Brees' backup, though we've heard in other interviews that likely it's a special teams role that ends up getting cut down for him. And that certainly makes sense because you're seeing Johnson Batamosi come back, JT Gray coming back, Justin Hardy, Dwayne Washington, if he doesn't get beat out, you know, these guys that are big time special teamers that are coming back to the team, and they're continuing to build up around that kick coverage and the kicking game in that way. And so that would essentially, one of those guys could end up taking Taysom Hill's role in special teams to give him a little bit less to be worried about in terms of high speed collisions and things like that that come with special teams. But here's the thing that I feel like is missing a little bit whenever I hear Sean Payton talk about Taysom Hill. He does always talk about him as an NFL quarterback, a future franchise quarterback, a future NFL quarterback, but he never specifically says anything anything about how he feels about Taysom Hill in New Orleans, right? We see him as our future. We see him as the, you know, as the quarterback after Drew Brees, whatever that might be. And of course, it's a little bit too early. Maybe it's a little bit, you know, him just playing the diplomacy game a bit. But if you're, but at the same time, this is a guy that did not play the diplomacy game at all when it came to Larry Warford and saying like, look, we basically hate this guy and we have no reason for him to be on the team anymore. So we're going to go draft the guy that we like. Like he didn't say that exactly. I'm completely hyperbolizing, but still, you know, you've seen that transparency now, but where's the transparency for Taysom Hill? And so I'm curious to see if there ever, and I'm not going to hold it against him that it hasn't been there yet, but I'm interested to see if that ever does show up to where before Drew Brees announces that he's retiring, before the 2020 season is done, is there going to come a time where Sean Payton is going to let everybody know, yes, Taysom Hill is our guy going into 2021 blatantly? I think you see it with the contract. Again, the guy's going to get paid like $16,000 next year. I'm sorry, $16 million next year. $16,000 would tell you quite the opposite. But $16 million next year, which is basically like Jacoby Brissett, Marcus Mariota type pay, right? So we definitely will see Taysom Hill in terms of his contract as the future of the New Orleans Saints. But it is a little interesting to me that Sean Payton, with all the nice things that he has to say about Taysom and all of the stuff that he says about him being a future NFL quarterback, a future franchise quarterback, that he never specifically ties him to that with the New Orleans Saints. And again, I understand you have to play the game. You also have Jameis Winston here now, so you have to give these guys a reason to work. I get it. But it is something I'll be interested to see how it adjusts over time, or if it adjusts over time. Next, we'll jump over to wrap up the show looking at rotoworld.com. Our good friend of the pod, Thor Nystrom. You can follow him on Twitter at ThorKu. That's Thor K-U. He, every year after the draft classes are done, does a little bit of a draft class recap, ranking all the draft classes. He also does a UDFA one as well, and he just published the undrafted free agent one just before the weekend, and the Saints come in with the number 3 top undrafted free agent class in the NFL. So the way that he basically does this is that he assigns players their sort of value. So there's a top 5 value, there's a strength value, there's a total sum that all of these players add up to, and then it gets averaged out over the count. But basically, he averages out scores based upon where these guys were ranked within his top 200 and beyond, fringe guys, things like that. 90% of each class is graded on the top 5 selections, and then the other 10% comes from the rest of the class. The Saints, of course, had a 12-person class, and their top 5 out of a possible average of 10 ended up ranking at 8.6. So that's clearly going to be one of the top classes that was tied with the Browns, but then their overall sort of strength ended up being 3rd all by itself at 14.84. So when you look at some of the guys that the Saints signed that Thor likes a lot, Joe Bocci and Malcolm Roach, both with completely draftable grades. He had Joe Bocci with a 5th round draftable grade, and then Malcolm Roach with a 7th round draftable grade. And he also had Juwan Johnson and Calvin Throckmorton as fringe draftable players as well, and then the rest sort of filed in after that. So the Saints, after last year, they came in as one of the top teams with an undrafted class as well as their draft class, and then ended up in Thor's draft hall, quote unquote, which is a combined average of both the drafted and undrafted rookie class, which he is going to do again this year, I do believe. So we'll revisit that and probably have him come back on the show to talk about it. But the Saints repeat again with one of the best undrafted free agent classes in the NFL. And Thor observes that a lot of this has to do with the fact that the Saints are very happy to go quality over quantity in the NFL draft itself, which gives them most of day 3 to focus on and start talking to undrafted free agents, which is exactly what you saw the Saints do this year. And clearly, they're profiting off of it yet again. So the Saints remaining one of the top teams in the NFL when it comes to undrafted free agents. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode. Now that you're done here, make sure you tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NFL. Catch up with Matt and Brian with everything that's going on all across the league. And make sure, of course, that you come back here all throughout the week as we continue to keep you up to date with everything going on with your New Orleans Saints. Continue to look at top position groups that the Saints will face throughout the season. Twitter Tuesday, tomorrow, Facebook Friday, on Friday, and so much more all here throughout the week. So make sure you keep it locked all throughout. I thank you so much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.